has a lot of meaning, and tonight I had planned, unless the Lord changes it, to preach a message about that strength and how to have that strength in your life that we all need during these days. So we'll have the Lord's table as well tonight at our 7 o'clock service. By the way, we had a wedding here yesterday downstairs. Alex Lauger got married to Ariana Brown, and they are now Mr. and Mrs. Alex Lauger. And they went back to her home church. That's Brother Dingus's church as well. Brother Dingus just keeps coming up. And the father was there. He's a great big guy, the father. He read Alex the Riot Act in my friend. And he said, "You better take good care of my daughter." But he's a good guy. He's Brother Dingus in his church. He's a very committed man. Big guy, huge guy. And he talked to me about the quad conference they had. I said we were going to try to get to that quad conference. We just couldn't make it this year. But he was telling me all about that, how it grew and how it's blessed. And just a good guy. He had his single daughter there named Faith. And Ariana, the older daughter, got married to Alex. And they're back there in Jersey at Dingus's church and then having a honeymoon this weekend. And he should be here Wednesday. So we look forward to seeing Ariana Lauger now and Alex. And she told my wife, she said, "I want to help out with a great commission. I want to get involved." So that was good. And she's a sweet lady. And Alex and Ariana, pray for them as they begin a new marriage. And we're going to have to start a new marriage Sunday school class soon here, because they're moving out of his singles class now. You're losing a single class member there. But I'm sure Alex does not mind that. He's all right with that. Amen. I'm thinking this morning concerning the scripture that was read of a pastor who'd shared this. And it was about a man that he knew, Christian man, born-again man, but he was in depression, and he was just not motivated to go forward and expect anything from life. Everything with him was in the past. Any good was in the past, and the pastor was given an appointment to see him to try to help him with this depression and shake him out of it. And he went to the pastor, and the pastor went to him. I guess he went to the pastor for an appointment, and the preacher probed him and asked the reason why he was stuck in the past and so depressed. And apparently, he'd been in a submarine in the World War. And when the pastor questioned him about the negative experience on the submarine, he said, "We were hit with a depth charge." And then the pastor said, "Well, what happened then?" He said, "Well, the lights all went out. The power went out." "Well, then what happened?" He said, "We sunk to the bottom of the sea." And the pastor said, "What happened?" He said, "We were in a submarine. We were hit with a depth charge. It sunk. The lights went out. All the electric went out. We sunk to the bottom of the sea." Every time the pastor tried to say, "And then what happened?" he kept going back to that experience. And finally the pastor said, "But it's very obvious you didn't stay at the bottom of the sea. You're here with me. How'd you get rescued? What's happened since?" You see, this man was mired in the past. He was stuck with this traumatic memory, and his mind just kept doing a loop-de-loop, loop, 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 going back. And he had not moved forward in his life from that terrifying ordeal. I believe that's what happened to Samuel, so to speak, in our scripture reading today. God had commanded him and said, "You know, I want you to anoint Saul as the king of Israel," young man. And Saul did it. He did what God said, and he invested in this young man. He invested his time in the young man, Saul. He invested his counsel in the young man, Saul. He invested his prayer in the young man, Saul. He helped him, and he had seen Saul win victories for Israel over the enemies, the Philistines, and he was delighted and he had joy in that experience with Saul. But you know that Saul, King Saul, disobeyed God, and he was unwilling to do what God wanted him to do as king. And for instance, he wouldn't do what God wanted him to do with Agag and the Amalekites. And Samuel had to do it himself. You know, it's a sad thing when a preacher has to step in and do it for you. Right. Because you don't do your part.
Right.
And Saul just wasn't doing it, and he wasn't doing what he should. So Samuel did it for him, but it was a sad time for Samuel. And the Lord spoke through Samuel to Saul, and he told him the truth. Samuel told Saul the truth. Here's what he said in verse 28 of chapter 15. He said, "The Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." 1 Samuel 15:28. Now Samuel had told him the truth. But many times a preacher can preach the truth, and yet his emotions were still wrapped up in the man that was having the kingdom taken from him. He was wrapped into him, and he would not move on emotionally. He stayed with Saul in his emotions, even though he didn't see Saul anymore. He was wrapped up, and it was like that man at the submarine in the bottom of the... He just couldn't get beyond Saul's failure. And he would not move on emotionally. But God said, "I've given it to somebody else." He was stuck in the mud of depression because Saul's failure caused him not to pan out as Samuel had hoped and expected. You know, I know this because the Lord had to deal with Samuel and counsel him. And perhaps you're here today and you're stuck in the mud of some failure, some emotional hold that you have, and you are refusing to move on in your life as you ought to because of a person that has failed of the grace of God, just like Saul. And so here's what it says in 1 Samuel 15:35. It says these words, "And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death." Now listen, "Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." You see the difference there? Samuel was mired in Saul and mourning for him, whereas God had moved on. And God said, "I repented that I made him king. I've got another king to replace him." That was God's mentality. But Samuel's mentality was he was stuck in the mud of mourning for Saul. The name of the message for you this morning that I believe the Lord laid on my heart for you is Saul. Samuel mourned, but the Lord moved on. But here's the name of the message for you. Stop your mourning. Move forward. Stop your mourning. Move forward. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to cry. And there's a time to move forward. And so I remember being here. You know, we've been with the Christian school for decades. And we've seen many kids graduate, many kids come through our school. They've not all panned out for the Lord. I'd like to say everyone did, but they have not all panned out for the Lord. In fact, I just ran into one yesterday that hasn't. And she told me, "I'm reading my Bible." And I said, "Well, I'll pray for you." I said, "We love you. We hope you come back." But I have not been stuck in the mud. We move forward. We move forward. And I remember at a particular graduation, our youth director then made a presentation to one of our graduates who happened to be his son. And this son was going to be a missionary to China. The dad had invested, obviously, a lot in his life. And our church had invested a lot in his life. And he was getting ready to go to China, graduate from our school. And the dad presented him with a great big sword. Were you graduating that year? The next year?
I was the year before.
Year before. But the dad presented him with a great big sword. And I remember that, and he it was a big hoopla, and the dad had been a youth director, and there was such promise and such hope for this young man to be great for God. And he had every opportunity, believe me. He had every opportunity to be great for God. But I know that this young man got tied up with a young lady. I remember this young lady when she was 12 years old. We got her on the bus and she came out. But this was not related to us because she'd gotten away from church and she wasn't really saved. And she worked where he worked for a summer job. He got tied up with her and he never went to China. He never did the things that we had hoped for him. He went with her. They got married eventually. They lived together, then got married, and then it ended in divorce, I believe, and it never worked. It resulted in him being put on church discipline instead. And then after he was on church discipline for a lengthy amount of time, Matthew 18 says, if they don't repent and come back to the Lord, just remove them from the membership. Just remove them. And treat them as a publican and a tax collector. And we had to do that. And his family had to do that. And what a sad thing that was. And sometimes people go through that and they see a young person and they've had personal relationship with that young person and invested in that young person. And now they're kind of so mired emotionally in the failure of that person that they don't move on. And let me tell you, that's not fair to other people. That's not fair to living. That's not fair to people that need you, that need God's working through you. You've got to move on. And that's the way it was with Samuel. His emotions were wrapped around Saul. And God said, no, move on, Samuel. I've got somebody else, somebody better than Saul. He's out there. You need to get him. You need to find him. And how are you going to find him? Go to Jesse's. But he said that. And I'm afraid that some folks are stuck in the mire of the past. The best friend of that young man was this young man right here. They were best friends. And he may have not got the sword and got the hoopla at the graduation, but he did get the call of God. And he did get the hand of God. And he did get the working of God. And if I would have been mired in the past and in the young man that failed, you see, I might have not been there to encourage this young man who was ready to succeed. This young man who was ready to go on. This young man who needed an older man that was not mired in the past, but was going forward. You know, you're only an old person, an old man or an old woman, if you're stuck in the past.
Great.
You can learn from the past. Amen. But move on. Move forward. Move forward today. Don't stay stuck in the mire as Samuel was tempted to do and as God had to deal him. Because if you're stuck in the mire of the past, you're going to miss the open doors in the present. You're going to miss the opportunities that God has for us in the future. And I am so glad that was many years ago. But I have moved on from that young man. Though I invested in him as well, I have moved on. Not that I don't think about him, that I don't ever pray for him, but my friends, so many that have gone through that Matthew 18 and through church discipline, it's not good. It's not good. I'll just tell you that right now. And don't put your emotions above God. You may be a melancholy, emotional person, but I'm here to tell you folks that don't put your emotions above God. Because it'll keep you from going forward. Move forward. Stop your mourning. Move forward. Beloved, move forward. I'm thinking about not only that, but I'm thinking about another young man in our church who's not with us, not due to church discipline, not due to sin. In fact, he lived for God. He served God. He was a soul winner. He went to our Christian school and excelled. He had a testimony for Jesus Christ. He went out to college. He went into the military, became a war hero. Amen. I'm talking about Sergeant Eric Wentworth Sobotnik. And since it's the anniversary of his passing from this earth in a place called Ramadi, Iraq, near the Euphrates River, where he was helping to build a bridge there, and he was a gunner on a Bradley fighting vehicle, I thought I would talk about him today because he was a hero.
Amen.
And I remember he passed on September 28th. The next day we went to Sobotnik's, and others were there to comfort, to encourage, to pray with, to mourn with them. And I remember our deacon, who's now downstairs in Wonder Church, that man that came from the military, that man that is the dreaded person, that you've seen him in movies and they come to the door and they inform you that your son or daughter has been killed. And he came, and Joe Sobotnik told that man how to be saved. He led him to faith in Jesus Christ. And there were 10 other people at that time that prayed to receive Christ through the witness of Deacon Joe Sobotnik. It's just amazing. I mentioned to Mrs. Sobotnik this morning in Sunday school, because I remembered that when Eric went to heaven, we didn't hear about it till the next day because of the time zone and all that. So we didn't hear about it till the following day, and they didn't hear about it, Sobotnik's, until the following day. But the previous day was the day that he actually went to heaven, being in that Bradley vehicle that hit an IED and it exploded and the vehicle was inflamed. And I remember that when that happened, the day before we heard about it, all the power was taken out in the Sobotnik's home. And my opinion is that Eric asked the angel permission to go to the home in northeastern PA, the beautiful place that he loved, stay there, see it one more time, and say a goodbye to his family and make the power go out. I'm very closely involved because my youngest daughter was unofficially engaged to Eric at the time. Very traumatic time for her. I remember being with her and walking with her 24/7 for the period of a week or two, just staying with her nonstop. And I remember she asked God, "Lord, help me to move forward. I can't shake this. I need something. I need a settlement." And that night, and she tells me about this all the time, she had a dream that was so real, she believes it was real, that Eric came in some kind of a vehicle to our property. He could not get out and touch her or anything like that. But he talked to her and he explained to her about heaven and how it was. And ever since that dream, she was able to move on. It was like God gave her that. It was amazing. It was amazing. I am saying to you that Joe Sobotnik, when this happened, and I'm privy to this, he's not here, I'm kind of glad he's downstairs, but I'm privy to this, his wailing and his weeping could be heard if you would be up on the property, quietly, all alone. he went to weep and to wail because he would not see his son come back from war. But he didn't weep and wail as those that have no hope, because he knows where Eric is. And he knows he will see him. And I want to say this as an example and a testimony to you this morning, because Joe Slobodnik, this past week on September 28th, was the very day that Eric passed. On this year's calendar, September 28th fell on a Thursday. Then it was on a Wednesday, but it was on a Thursday this year. And I ask you, where was Joe Slobodnik, September 28th? Was he weeping and wailing and beating his breast? No. He was downstairs teaching a class of people how to tell others about Jesus Christ. And then from there, he went out with a young person, I believe Miss Anna, and they went out and told people how to be saved. And a couple people received the Lord. Stop mourning. Move forward. That's what God says. We can grieve, but not as those that have no hope, beloved. Because there are still those that need us. And the folks that are in heaven, the last I checked out from Hebrews, they are up there in chapter 12. They are cheering us on. The Bible says we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. They're cheering you on. They're saying, stop mourning. Are you involved in a soul winning training ministry? Are you helping others witness for Christ? Are you involved in a Saturday witnessing ministry or bus ministry? Are you moving on and helping other people? Every year, Denny and Marion and Kathy and I went out to celebrate our mutual anniversaries in September. And we went out with Marion this year up in Clark Summit and went to an Italian restaurant up there, because Marion is Italian. She likes Italian food. So do I. And we were up there, and she was telling us about how difficult it has been since Denny passed, being a widow. And they were very close. Very close. By the way, your mate should be your best friend. If they're not, make them your best friend. If they're not, make them your best friend. My wife always had women that wanted to be close to her. She says, my best friend is my husband. Nothing wrong with women having friends and being friends, but I think there's something wrong when a woman has to have another woman and doesn't have her own husband as her best friend. That's just an extra little sermon. That's what God wants. And I'm just saying to you that it's hard, and it has been hard. But Mary kind of shocked me. She said, Pastor, I would like somebody to ask me to go out on Thursday night. I'd like to go. She said, Denny, he didn't go on Thursday, but I'd like to go. And she said, just nobody asked me. I said, Marion, would you go on Thursday night? And she said, yes, I will. And then there's a schedule problem. She works and has to get her schedule adjusted. She said, once I get that adjusted, I'm going to come out. I'm going to come out. And she's passed it. She's been out before, and she passed it, but she wants to come back. Perhaps some should come back. Yeah. You should come back. Uncle Randy wants you. Or Uncle Wandy. But you need to come back. We had a guy in our church, his name was Chris, but I call him Quiss. And people ask me, so why do you call Chris Quiss all the time? I said, because he calls me Wandy. But it's time to stop your mourning and move forward. Samuel needed that. And God spoke to Samuel. In chapter 16, here's what the Lord said. It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" Let me read that again. This is God talking. He goes, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send thee to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." I wonder how many are still out there that need to get saved. The Bible says in Acts 16:48, "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." How many does God have out there ready to get saved? But he just needs you to go. He just needs me to go.
Amen.
He just needs us to speak and to speak the word. I remember going down the highway. The guy's not in our church now, but he loves the Lord. He still loves us. And you know who I'm talking about, Brother Harold. And he's helped you out recently. I was going down the highway here, and I was in Dixon City, and I was just ready to witness to anybody. Man, I didn't want to wait. I'm going to do it today. And I ran into this guy, and I asked him two questions. I gave him the gospel. He prayed to receive Christ. And he told me later, he said, "I was sitting there ready to commit suicide. And you came. It's your friend that helped you out recently."
Okay.
Well, I'm trying to think. Jose. He got saved. And I'm just saying to you, I went out yesterday on bus ministry, followed up a young lady Matthew had told me about, named Ashley. She prayed to receive Christ. She wants a ride tonight. She wants to come to church tonight. Praise the Lord. Another young man used to come to our church. Now he's a teenager, Bradley. Got to give him the gospel. Another young kid that is in our church, Dominic, he was saying, "Bradley, get saved now. You need to get saved right now." He said, "I've been saved so many times." When you really get it, it's real. It's there. But people need us to stop the mourning and to move forward in order to be there. Don't just live on a memory. Move forward in your life and you be there. That's what God told Samuel. "And the Lord said, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse." Now listen, this is important. I think of preachers. They're very important. Amen. Samuel was a preacher and he was mourning. And God had to speak to him about getting out of his mourning and going forward. And I'm thinking of a preacher friend of mine. And this preacher had years ago graduated from Bible college, went to Hiles Anderson College. He came to this church before he graduated, and he sat in Sunday school, came to church. He knew me, but he wanted to come to church. He interviewed me and talked about the need and talked about starting a church up in Carbondale, Pennsylvania, which is a preacher's graveyard. But he was one of the few people that stuck with it. He did stick with it, and I thank God for that. He had reached out to people in that community and led people to the Lord. He used to have bonfires at his house, and he would give the gospel. And he had certain people that got saved that were from that community, and young couples that were together and were believers. And he loved those people. He and his wife invested their lives in those people. And then one day, something happened. I don't know what it was. And they got their nose out of joint, and they said, "We're going to all leave the pastor, leave the church, and we're going to go to another church." Well, they came here. I did not know about it. I had no idea. But when I saw them, and I was preaching, and I was saying, "You don't leave your church and go to another church." And And they were like, "Oh, we better not go to Pastor's church, Pastor Bloom's church. He won't accept us here." And they went to another church, and the pastor accepted them, you know, and took them right in. I don't know if he even checked with my friend. Probably didn't, sadly. But at any rate, my friend, I saw him some years ago. And he was at some event that our church were mutually involved with. And I saw him, we talked. And I said to him, he said, "I'm thinking about leaving." He said, "My wife and I have just cried and cried and cried over those people. They're like our children, and we just grieve over them." And he had adult children, and all the people left the church. And his church was very small at that point. Hardly anybody left. And he said, "I'm just going to go, and we're going to live by my adult children, I think." I said, "Don't do it." I said, "Don't do it. Don't go out of here like that." I said, "I know you're hurting." I said, "Look, I've gone through it. I've gone through it two occasions where people were led away from our church that I'd invested my life in, and they went away, and you feel like your heart is blown out and you want to give up." But I said, "Wait a minute. There are other people that I've been able to reach because I didn't go. I didn't quit." And God has blessed and filled the church again, and he's blessed it again. I said, "He can do that with you. Don't go. Stay with it." And you know what? He took that advice. And he's still going on.
Hey.
And I believe that that is exactly what Samuel needed. That is exactly what some of you need today. You're distracted and you're in the mud of past mourning, and you're not free to go forward and to be blessed of God. And I believe this morning that God wants me to preach on stop mourning and move forward. And let me conclude by saying this. What if God would have given up? What if God would have, when he made the first king of the earth, what was his name? Adam. You know him. And in the cool of the day, God used to meet with him in a Christophany, and he would talk to him and walk with him, and they were together. Every day they would meet together. And one day Adam wasn't there because Adam had listened to his woman that God gave him, and he listened to her and took of the wrong fruit and got into sin, and he wasn't there to meet with God. You know what? Sometimes I go out on bus ministry. I'm thinking of one particular house. I go to that house, and the person that was so happy to get on the bus and come to church now cannot be found. You know why? It's always somebody that gets you into sin. And sin has moved this person away. And they're not happy to see me now. The person that smiled and would be happy. And Adam wasn't happy to see God. He was all hiding and hiding in the fig leaves and hiding in the garden away from God. And God goes, "Adam, where art thou? Where are you, Adam?" You know what? God could have been mourning and grieving and saying, "I made man. I made him to be king over the earth. Now look what he's done. He's forsaken me. He's gone away. He doesn't want to see me anymore." But did God do that? No, he didn't do that. God moved on. And what did he do? He took care of Adam's need, but he moved on. And he said to the serpent, who was inhabited by the devil, Brother Harold, he was inhabited by Satan. And he said to Satan, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." And the woman is the nation of Israel, by the way, and the nation that gives birth to the Messiah. "And between thy seed and her seed." Who's her seed? The Jewish Antichrist. And anybody that follows Satan, by extension, is the seed. "And I'll put enmity between thy seed," Satan, that's Satan's seed, "and her seed," that's Jesus, the Messiah. "It," That's the seed of the woman, Israel, shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, the Lord, right away, when he was disappointed with Adam, when he was mourning over Adam and Adam's sin, he made provision for a replacement. He's called the last Adam. He's called the seed of the woman. He was born from the nation of Israel, from a virgin. He came here and lived that perfect life and fulfilled all the prophecies about his first coming. And his heel was bruised. That is, he suffered a non-lethal judgment. Because when he hung on that cross, it didn't knock him out for good. He died, but he rose again. But when he crushes Satan at his second coming, Satan will not rise again.
Praise God.
He'll knock him down. He'll be 1,000 years in the pit, come out briefly, and then he'll knock him out. And he'll put the beast and the Jewish Antichrist in the lake of fire before the 1,000 years as the first thing at Armageddon, take out and put him away.
Praise God.
You see, God is going to have the last laugh. He's got the final victory. So, are you mired in somebody that was in this church, maybe went on church discipline? You have good memories of that person, but they didn't listen? Perhaps God has rejected them. Let me say that again. Perhaps God has rejected them. You need to move on. You need to move on.
Yep.
Because if you don't, your life is going to be in the past, and you're not going to reach people that God could help you to reach. And let me say this. Perhaps you're here today, and you can be thankful God did move on, and he moved from Adam to Jesus. And now Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he's got his hand out to you this morning through me, a preacher. And Jesus is saying to you, do you see the holes in my hands? Do you see the hole in my side? Do you see the hole in my feet? That was for you, this world, and anybody in this world that will accept my free gift. All those holes and that blood that I shed will wipe your sins away from God forever. You say, how can I know that? By faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it right now. As I'm speaking to you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shall be saved. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. He will save you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Praise God.
And I can preach that because I'm not licking the wounds of the past. I've been hurt, but I'm not licking the wounds. I am holding up the wounds of the one that was wounded in the house of his friends.
Yep.
He was wounded in the house of his friends. And sadly, some of our greatest wounds come right in the church. But Jesus will heal those wounds. And there's nothing that will heal them like a new convert. Go out there. Go out there. Get them saved.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about stop your mourning and moving forward.